Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We are in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to begin in chapter 6 this morning. Really, the section of chapters 4 through 7, you can look at it as a section. A lot of it is pretty straightforward, especially, I think, chapter 6 and 7. Is fairly straightforward. Doesn't require a whole lot of explanation, but there are a few things that we will look at. Verse 1, he says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them, and say, Mountains of Israel, listen to the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the ravines, and the valleys. Behold, I myself am going to bring a sword on you, and I will destroy your high places. So your altars will become desolate, and your incense altars will be smashed. And I shall make your slain fall in front of your idols. I shall also lay the dead bodies of the sons of Israel in front of their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwellings, cities will become waste, and the high places will be desolate, that your altars may become waste and desolate, your idols may be broken and brought to an end, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be blotted out, and the slain will fall among you, and you will know that I am the Lord." God had commanded that all the high places be destroyed. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, as the children of Israel were about to cross the Jordan and were looking forward of initially entering the promised land, God had given instruction that all of the high places, all of the idols to the foreign gods should be destroyed. Throughout the Old Testament, God condemned these high places. Judah, Israel also, but Judah is who Ezekiel is primarily prophesying against. Judah practiced idolatry on every high hill. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 6, and many other passages that we could look at. The mountains were filled with idolatrous places to worship. In verse 4, when he says, "I shall make your slain fall in front of your idols," there's a reason for that. I mean, the children of Israel, it's not that they had felt like they abandoned Jehovah. They just they worshiped these other deities, gods, in addition to Jehovah. And the reason for worshiping these false gods was because these false gods required the practice of sin. So it appealed to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Here's your justification for gratifying those pleasures in those areas was to worship these false gods. And as crazy as that is to us, you know, if you're looking for an excuse, you're going to find it. And so as the children of Israel inhabited these lands, failed to remove the high places, investigated these false gods and what's involved in those worship to these false gods, and they said, it's not so bad. They engaged in the false worship. Well, their slain are going to fall in front of their idols. That which they trusted in is not going to deliver them. They're going to die in front of them. So I'll scatter your bones around your altars. A couple of things to notice here. One is the lack of proper burial was considered disgraceful. And you can kind of refer to Psalm 53 and verse 5, Psalm 141 and verse 7. To leave a body on the ground, subject to the birds and the wild animals, the wild beasts, and bones just scattered around on the ground, was considered disgraceful. Also, it's interesting that Josiah, in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verses 15 through 21, as Josiah, king of Judah, did remove the high places and the altars and so forth. And the one way that he desecrated those altars was that he actually raided the tombs of the dead, pulled the bones out of their sepulchers and placed them upon these false altars, just desecrating these altars. Any altar that it had human bones on it was considered to be desecrated, even by the Gentiles. And so that was one way that he not only did tear them down, but in the rubble of it and so forth, he just scattered the bones of the dead all over the area. And you will know that I am the Lord. I want you to read with me, and this is a lengthy reading, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 27. God is saying here that when all of these things happen, you will know that I am the Lord. Well, there's a little bit more to the story, too. So we go back to Deuteronomy, and the children of Israel are going to enter the promised land. I want to remind you of what God, through Moses, said to the people. We could actually begin with chapter 27 and verse 1, but I'm just going to start with verse 14 just for the sake of time. He says, "The Levites shall speak and say unto the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed is a man that makes any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and puts it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that sets light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that makes blind any wanderer out of the way. And all of the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he that perverts the judgment of a stranger and fatherless and a widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife because he uncovers his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his sister and daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smites his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that takes reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people will say, Amen. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of thy Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks, and thy sheep. Blessed be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in this season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. In other words, you will have an abundance. You'll be able to lend to others. You'll never have to ask for a loan from foreigners. And the Lord shall make thee head and not a tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe them and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So there's the blessing. If you continue in my word and observe them, all of these blessings are going to come upon you. You'll be blessed in every area of your life. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all the commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be the basket of thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thine kind, and the flocks, and thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he has consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thy feet shall be iron, and the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and you will not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all of thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, and for which thou shalt see. All of these things that you're going to see, it's going to drive you crazy, in other words, is what he's saying. And the Lord shall smite thee with in the knees and in the legs, with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot to the top of thy head. And the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations whither God shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and thy fruit and thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt become very low. Just the opposite of what we saw with the blessings, where they would be on top and the others would be below. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And thou shalt be, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want, and in all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck, until he has destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as a swift eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed. Also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks, or thy sheep, until he has destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until the high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in thy gates throughout all the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God has given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that a man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, and toward his wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall cleave. And so even the meek and the mild, the people that wouldn't hurt anyone, will begin to even to just become as animals and want to eat even his own. So that, verse 55, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and the delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set a sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that comes out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want, and of all the things secretly in siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in the gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, and great plagues, and long continuance, and sore sickness, and long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all disease of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And he shall be left few in number. You shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of the heavens for multitude, because thou would not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good, and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, and to bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people, from one end of the earth even to the other, and thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shalt the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing eyes and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, and at evening you shall say, would God that it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again, with ships by the way whereof he spake unto thee. Thou shalt see no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. So I think that part of what Ezekiel is saying here in verse 7, and he's going to repeat it at the end of each one of these paragraphs here in chapter 6, you shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, God said this is going to happen to you before they ever entered the promised land. If you don't obey me, if you don't keep my word, this is what's going to come upon you. Now, this is what's coming upon them. Because they didn't obey him and they didn't keep his word, this is what's coming upon them. You know, and as you read that, I don't know about you, but as I read that, that's really scary. I mean, you know, you'd think, you read that and you say, well, I'm going to keep his word, and I want to make sure, you know, everybody I have an influence over, that they see the importance of keeping his word. You know, that it talks about so many things there. You trusted in your idols, you trusted in your walls, and all that's coming down. You trusted in your abundance of all of these things. You trusted in, you know, you've got olive trees. Well, there's not going to be any fruit on them. It's all coming to an end. If you do not honor me and keep my word, I will destroy you. And it just reminds you, you know, behold the goodness and the severity of God. That, you know, in the first part of that chapter, he talks about the great goodness that they're going to receive if they love him and keep his word and abide in him. But if you don't obey him, I mean, the wrath of God is complete and severe. Yeah.
Joyfulness.
Right.
Because he had blessed him with so much abundance. Was what he was, you know, God was trying to get at, that, you know, you should come to me with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of abundance of all things.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, as we went through chapter 5, it talked about the cannibalism there and so forth. Well, that was all foretold. It was foretold, you know. So what God had said way back there through Moses, he's saying it again. The time has come through Ezekiel here, and they're going to experience all of these things. Any comments or questions? Yes. Yeah, God said it never occurred to me that they would do something like that. So yeah, that's interesting in and of that. Yeah.
All the things they, you know, especially a few of the ones that were going into the promised land in Deuteronomy. But you know, all the things that they saw, all the terrible things that they saw happen to Egypt, you know, do you want that visited on you? I wouldn't want it visited upon me.
Yeah. But for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, people don't think about the end, they just think about the moment. Yeah, I think that's the key. It's not that they ignored God's blessings. They just took them for granted. You know, of course he's blessed us. We're his children, you see. Well, when they stopped serving him, loving him and keeping his commandments, and started serving the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, which is basically what it comes down to in idolatry, God says, you'll be destroyed. Okay, so verse 8, he continues, he says, however, I shall leave a remnant, for you will have those who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered among the countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations to which they will be carried captive, how I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me, and by their eyes, which they played the harlot after their idols, and they will loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils which they have committed, for all their abominations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would inflict this disaster on them. The remnant would consist of those who escape the sword, but are among those who are scattered among the countries. The remnant have participated in the idolatry that everybody else has participated in. It's not that these are more righteous than others. These have their sins too. Notice here in verse 9, he says, I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me. We should take note of that. That when we sin, we hurt God. When we gratify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, we hurt God. And God does not take that lightly. Without repentance, without confession, without turning away from that and acknowledging our sin and turning to His righteousness, we can expect the severity of God. I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me. And He's not talking about their physical adultery, which certainly they have engaged in that, but He's talking about their spiritual adultery with these foreign gods, with these idolatrous gods. Many times God would liken His relationship with Israel as to a husband and wife. Israel was His wife. But they played the harlot and served these other gods as well. Right. Right. So, as he continues to say here, they turned away from me, and by their eyes which played the harlot after their idols. And they will loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils they have committed. So the remnant are going to say, why were we so sinful? We're getting exactly what we deserved. We're getting exactly what God said back there in Deuteronomy. Okay? They're not saying, this is too severe, we don't deserve this. They were saying, we deserve this. Probably many of them were saying, we deserve to die with those that were slain by the sword. But they've been given a chance to reflect and to repent and to turn their hearts back to God. It's from these who recognize this that this remnant is going to arise. They will know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would inflict this disaster on them. That all goes back to Deuteronomy. That wasn't in vain. Thus says the Lord God, clap your hand, stamp your foot, and say, alas, because of all the abominations of the house of Israel, which will fall by the sword, famine, and plague. He who is far off will die by the plague. Might just stop here and notice this phrase here, clap your hand, stamp your foot. It's interesting to look at many commentators and what they say about this. You find the same kind of thing being said in chapter 21 and verse 14 and 17, chapter 25 verses 5 through 6. But as I look at that and look at it, it seems to me that what he's saying is he's saying, Ezekiel, clap your hands, stomp your feet, make this message heard and let them see the zeal of the message. See, maybe we had John Isaac Edwards here for a meeting most recently, and maybe many of you know his father, Johnny Edwards. He was one who many times would snap his fingers, clap his feet, clap his hands. I don't know if people were falling asleep on him or what, but he was making a point, and a good point right there. And I think that's what God is saying here. He's saying, clap your hands, stomp your foot, get some emphasis into your message here. Alas, because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, which fall by the sword, famine, and plague,
He who is far off will die by the plague, and he who is near will fall by the sword, and he who remains will be besieged and die by famine. Thus shall I spend my wrath on them. Then you will know that I am the Lord. When their slain are among their idols, around their altars, and on every high hill, on all the tops of the mountains, under every green tree, and under every leafy oak, the places where they offered soothing aroma to their idols, so throughout all their habitations, I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land more desolate and waste than the wilderness of Diblah. Thus they will know that I am the Lord. You want to fall before your idols? Okay, you're going to be before your idols dead.
That shows that the idols are too heavy.
Yeah. This, the wilderness toward Diblah, many believe that that might be a scribe, you know, not writing. Can you see up here, Riblah?
You see that up there? Many people believe he's talking about maybe this area right in here. But it doesn't matter geographically. It's wilderness, okay? All of Israel, all of Judah turned into wilderness.
That's going to be from like north to south. The whole land.
Okay.
It's going to be wilderness.
The land will be more desolate and waste than the wilderness of Diblah. So he's using that wilderness as an example, you see, of what Israel, what Judah will become. Yes?
Right.